I want you all to know this. I think about the best conference I've ever been to in my life. Every message has been outstanding. And, I'll tell you, Gene could go on a while if he wanted to. That's pretty good stuff. I've always believed that the hardest verse in the Bible to believe and to practice is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you believe in the omnipresence of God, that verse is a lot easier to believe. Most of you who know my wife died about 4 years ago. Her sickness was a trying time. But it was the greatest blessing I've ever experienced. But I learned what that verse means. Now, if you want to turn your Bible to John chapter 6, I want to tell you something before I start. Doug gives all these other fellows subjects that are pretty easy to find in the Bible. He gives me a subject that's not even in there. I have to tell you this on myself. I did not know that until about 2 weeks ago. That the word sovereign and the word sovereignty are not in the Bible. I just never knew that. When God saved me, I was an atheist. I was a practicing atheist. Had been for a number of years. And when God saved me, I was in my late 20s. And when God revealed himself to me, he showed me he was sovereign. Amen. And I just believed that so much. I didn't even know the words weren't in the Bible. I went to a church, and I remember the two things about the night God saved me. It was on a Thursday night in May. I couldn't figure out why you Baptists didn't have church on Thursday. For some reason, I had an anguish in my heart to be in God's church. And I didn't know the Bible, but my wife had one. And I just had an insatiable desire to start reading it. I've been assigned to speak to you on the sovereignty of God and salvation. And while the words sovereign and sovereignty do not appear in our King James Bible, the concepts behind those words are plentiful.
Amen.
And they are quite explicit throughout the Word of God. The Bible clearly teaches that salvation is God's work. I'm nicer than I used to be. But there's some things I just don't have a lot of patience with. And these mollycoddling people that are trying to get folks to believe God, been nice enough to them to give them a chance to do something for themselves. I'm sorry, I just don't have much patience.
Yeah. Amen.
The God of the Bible is a king. And he sits on a throne. And he has the scepter of universal dominion in his hand, and he rules with it authoritatively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
And I thought, how am I going to attack this thing? And I got a letter from Brother Doug. I think it's out there in my car. And I sat down and wrote five things down on the back of that envelope. And that's what I'm going to try to tell you in the next 25 minutes or so, 20, 25 minutes. And I pray that God will help me, because this is a plain truth. It's a biblical truth. It's an absolute, clear truth of the Scriptures. I'll be honest with you. I've had Armenians ask me through the years, where do you find that in the Bible? And my response then usually is, well, where did you get your idea? It's not hard to find the sovereignty of God's mind.
Amen.
Read in Genesis 1:1, read to the end of Revelation 22, and it's all there. But there are five things that necessitate that God must be sovereign in salvation. First of all, God must be sovereign in salvation if man is as degenerate and lost as the Bible says he is. Now, the world will not and the world cannot believe this blessed truth. You're probably watching the same news I am, and they're about to convince us. Up in Kentucky, we've got a big thing going on that in Kentucky it's against the law. If you're not a man and a woman, you can't get married. We have Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And they're telling us that we now have to, if you got married in some other state, you had Adam and Steve, then we have to provide you benefits and so on and so on. And they may do that, I don't know. But I do know this, that sin is prevalent in every human being.
Amen.
I've heard some of the greatest messages in this conference I've ever heard. Well, Gene's about ready to get me shout here a minute ago. But I'm telling you, that's a wicked rascal right there.
You don't know that.
And you leave him out of God's hands, and you don't want to be in this building with him, or this county, or this state.
Amen. Probably don't
need
one.
Me either. Our minds and our emotions and our hearts are clouded with depravity.
That's right.
We're not touched with it. We're just overwhelmed with it. It's humanity has been, and it is now, and it will continue to be sinful and totally depraved, and there are no exceptions to this rule.
Amen, right?
Humanity is sinful. The best of men, the best of women, are rotten to the core. My wife died. We had talked about this for a long time, and I put a monument up on her grave. On the back of it, it says this: "Here lies a sinner saved by grace, now praising Jesus face to face."
Amen.
And a lady called me up and said, "I've got a problem with you." And I said, "That's not unusual." I said, "What's your problem?" Said the lady, "I'm just offended at what you put on your wife's tombstone." I said, "Why?" It says on her tombstone, she's a sinner. I said, she is a sinner. She was. Not now, but she is. She was. I was such a wife, just the sweetest, nicest woman. So I said, she was, but she's still a sinner. And so are you. So am I. The best of humanity is stained and marred by the presence of depravity. I'm getting to be an old man. Before long, I'll be living on borrowed time. In all my life, there's been one person after another that the world has put on a pedestal and held up and blown a trumpet to, talk about how great and wonderful they were, and every one of them were sinners. They were all sinners. They were all filled with iniquity. Their hearts were rotten, their minds were rotten, their emotions were rotten, and their actions were rotten if they were closely watched. You may watch politicians. Politicians come and go. And they rise up to the top of the mountain. Before you know it, they slide and they fall down to the bottom again. They're just like us. I wouldn't run for political office on a ballot, even if I was qualified. I don't want anybody dumping my garbage out the street and waving a spotlight over it. That's what they do. That's why we've got what we've got in Washington, and why you've got your state house, and we've got in our state house, because we got a few people that's got enough brass to believe what people say about it. But they're sinners. Another reason that God must be sovereign in salvation, because That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
And the Bible is the Word of God. Now, I'm not a real smart fellow, but I'm smart enough to figure this out. Well, I'm actually not smart enough, but God showed it to me, that the Bible is His Word. And you believe it is or not, it doesn't make any difference. I met a fellow a few years ago, and he said, I've known you a long time, and I just cannot believe that you lived your life based on the imaginations of a bunch of men who wrote something 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. And I said, that's the Word of God. He said, well, you say it is. I said, He said it is.
Amen.
I mean, it's what you say or I say. It is impossible to read this Bible and not clearly see human iniquity. It's there. Genesis to Revelation, it's there. It's a continual record of utter corruption. And this is the one clear denominator that sets man and humanity and God apart from each other. We're sinful. He's holy.
Amen.
He's holy. This book is an unwavering record of our failings. And to deny human depravity necessitates a denial of the Bible as the Word of God.
That's right.
Now, you can deny the Bible as a book of fairy tales and myths if you want to. That doesn't mean anything to me. The Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
It is the Word of God. It used to be. It's not going to be. It is.
Amen.
And to deny human depravity requires that you cast aside the Bible as the Word of God. God's Word is perfect. Human depravity is undeniable. And the concept of an innocent mortal is just a myth. Got a pretty good story about that saying, Gene. I tell you, that was mind-boggling. Well, I tell you what. You can get through that bag of sand that you got down here. You can get one grain of it out and say, surely out of all humanity, there's got to be one good one. I'm telling you, you dump the whole sack out, you won't find one. Not one. The Bible is a record that testifies of the complete iniquity, not of the worst of men and women, but of the best of them. David, that man who was a sweet singer of Israel, that man who was a man after God's own heart, he was a fornicator and an adulterer and a murderer and a liar and a thief.
That's right.
But he was loved of God.
Amen.
Solomon, his son, is supposedly the wisest man that ever lived. I'm telling you, I don't know how you call a man wise that's got 300 wives and 700 girlfriends, whichever way it is, the other way around. But he's a fool. I'm telling you, I couldn't keep up one good wife. I don't know what you can do with that many of them. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he was a great prophet. He went through so much for God. He suffered so much for God. Well, there were times when Jeremiah was foolish. He was a sinner. James and John came to Jesus one day and said, won't you do us a little favor? When you get on your throne, put one of us on the right, one of us on the left. That's all we want. We don't want much, isn't it? Let them rule and reign. This is the same John who leaned on Jesus' breast and called him beloved. Pilate, that Roman governor, looked upon Jesus and on numerous occasions said, I find no fault in this man. And yet he sent him to be crucified. That's what we do. Peter the apostle, Peter's my kind of fellow. Only was he a fisherman, and I'm not. I do my fishing at Long John Silver's. He was a great fisherman. He was a man. I'd like to see what Peter looked like. I got to think he was. But he was a big old boy. Big as they got over that thing. He was a fisherman. He was a strong man. He was used to pulling nets and shoving boats. He had muscles on top of muscles. He was a strong man. He told Christ, said, I'll die for you. I'll kill anybody that tries to harm me. And the Lord said, before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. You know what? He did.
Right.
He did. Then it must be so. If God is the God of this Bible. If God is the God of this Bible, then He must be a sovereign God. The God of the Bible is absolutely clear from beginning to end. He's a sovereign who has absolute authority. He doesn't ask. I get tired of these preachers that are always wanting people to give God permission. Don't you?
Amen.
God doesn't need your permission for anything.
Amen.
He didn't need your permission to make the sun come up this morning. He doesn't need your permission to make it go down. And by the way, he doesn't need your permission if you decide to leave it up all day and all night.
Amen.
He's God. He's God. That's why we bow to Him. That's why we worship Him. And that's why every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord to the glory of God.
Amen.
They'll do it while they're rotten, burning in hell, hating everything about Him. They'll still confess He's God.
That's right.
He's in charge of everything. His control is absolute and sovereign. Nobody I know is in control of everything. Every time I call the government about anything, they always tell me to call somebody else. I had a water leak the other day. They called the water department. I called them. They said, call the maintenance department. I called them. They said, call the state. I said, the state told me to call you. If man has a free will, then there has to be a conflict in every area. You can only have one free will. And if it's human, it won't stay that way.
Amen.
There must be a conflict in every area. Anytime you've got two people. I love my wife better than a hog loves slop. Now, you people in Kentucky don't know how much hog loves slop. They love slop. And I'm telling you, I know all these folks that are until they've been married 45, 50 years, they've never had a crossword. They're kidding themselves. My wife and I disagreed about it lots of times. In every aspect of human existence, God is God or He's not.
That's right.
He has been, He is now, and He always will be in total control of all things. But Sam, I wonder where his car was this morning. I said, that rascal has gone to McDonald's to eat breakfast. And I didn't see him down there. When I went down there, so he went down there. I didn't know where he lived like out here. That's in the providence of God.
Amen.
God's in control. God's in control. I thought about your dad this morning. I woke up thinking about Sam. Sam used to sing that, tell that old story, sing that little song about I'm a child of the king. Oh, that's a nothing happens in this universe without either God's direction or God's allowance.
Amen.
It's all in His purpose.
Amen.
God's decree must be complete. God is the eternal now. I want to tell some of you folks young that are not as old as me. There's a few years older than I am, but I'll leave their names out. You folks that are younger, I'll tell you something you'll learn as you get older. You'll understand what it is for God to be the eternal now. God's just always now. People sit around and they talk, but I remember when, or I look forward to when. God's never done that.
That's right. That's right.
He's always just been here.
Amen.
He just now. He was here when we weren't here. He was here when the world wasn't here. He's just God. God is a sovereign. He has a sovereign will. And His will always be accomplished.
Amen.
Always. No human being has ever been in that position. People fail.
Yes.
Your pastor, you folks here from Sovereigns, your pastor is a good man. You support him, pray for him, but he'll fail. So how do you know that? Because I fail lots of times. Every man I look at out here has failed in some way or another.
Right.
We all fail. God never fails.
Amen.
God always does what He wants to do. Somebody wrote a song a few years ago. I'd write it down and wrote it down. I listened to this song on the radio and I thought, I finally listened to the words. You know what the song said? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God? And I tell you, you think about that. There's a whole lot there. God always does what he wants to do. He always arranges events to transpire according to his purpose and his design. I had some second thoughts about coming down here. It's a long way from the promised land down here. And the driving was terrible. The only thing kept me going was I thought it was going to be about 80 degrees. And y'all fooled me on that too. I got over to Asheville and started sleeping and broke it on the radio and said, got a winter weather emergency. It's going to snow 3 to 5 inches tonight and pour down raining. And I drove all the way to this side of Savannah and the pour down rain. I thought, my goodness, I should have stayed in Kentucky.
Amen.
You know, God never wishes that.
That's right.
God's always right where he wants to be, doing just what he wants to do.
Amen.
With who he wants to, how he wants to, and when he wants to.
Amen.
The only hope for any sinner is the free grace of God manifested in their flesh through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if God is sovereign, then Christ is the author and the finisher of eternal life. One thing must be made explicitly clear. Either Jesus Christ is the complete Savior, or he's a failure and an impostor.
Right, right.
All these folks that's trying to work things out with him, make a deal with him. And they just don't know what to talk about. Future destiny of both the Godhead and of all humanity is integrally tied to this issue. Either God rules or man's fate. Christ being your Savior can never be the result of your choice, your design, or your decisions. God will make you willing.
Amen.
But he doesn't.
Amen.
I hear people that need to go searching for God. No, you better pray that God comes searching for you. I tell you, when I found God, I wasn't looking for him. He was the farthest thing from my mind. Didn't even think he existed. Christ is a Savior because he chose to be in perfect harmony with the purpose and design of God. And men and women will never seek Christ until Christ first seeks them. Jesus is either God or he isn't. His word is either absolutely true or it's a myth and it's full of lies and errors. What he said is either to be believed or to be rejected. The believer believes the word of God. They accept the word of God and they surrender to his word.
Amen.
The unbeliever rejects his word, denies Christ, and ignores God's truth. For Christ to be the Savior of fallen, flawed, corrupted sinners, it must be entirely of absolutely free and sovereign grace. Man has nothing to offer. He's dead in trespasses. My wife died. I used to go to her grave every day. And I'd look at that stone and I'd think about her, the experiences we had. And then one day, a few weeks later, God gave me a few weeks to get over it. And he said to me, David, she's not there. And I probably haven't been back to her grave maybe once. Every couple of months or so since then. She's not there.
That's right.
She died in Christ. She died trusting him. She died hoping in him. And I sure am jealous of her. And then it must be so if any poor sinner is ever going to have eternal life.
Amen.
I look out at this audience of people this morning, I know a lot of them. And I know where you say you are. Some of you I don't know. So I just say to everybody here that all humanity, by nature, is condemned. They're condemned by their attitudes. They're condemned by their conduct. And they're condemned by their absolute depravity and the nature that's part of that depravity. I tell you, if you have any hope, it's in Christ and nowhere else. For me to have any hope, my personal salvation, God's got to be on the throne.
Amen.
God's got to be on the throne. I rejoice in my faith that he's exactly that. I have no hope in anything else. In my doubts, I constantly compel to return to these truths. I don't know about you, it's not my business being here, but I don't have the utmost confidence in the President of the United States. But I do know this. Since he's been President of the United States, every day the thought has been brought to my mind from the Lord of Heaven. He's there, but I'm here. And when he's gone, I'll still be here. And when trouble comes your way, when you deal with grief, sickness, adversity, and poverty. This is the first time I've ever been in this church building in my life that Greg Gibbs was here. Oh, is he? Okay. Well, I'm glad to know he's here. But I thought about him. You know, I'm glad to know that. I'm glad to know he's here.
Amen.
But I'm more glad to know God's on the throne.
Amen.
For my message to have any value, God must be sovereign and authority. That's what I preach. I'm not one of these preachers that preaches something at conference and something else in my church. I don't preach anything at conference, I preach in my church. Preacher without a sovereign God is a liar. He's the messenger of doom. You can listen to the, what's that fellow's name? Curly haired fellow that says he's not a preacher, he don't preach the blood. Yes, and stuff, man. You know what I'm talking about. And he's a fool.
No, that's right.
Joel Osteen, that's what I'm trying to think about. My only hope when I stand in the pulpit is that God's on the throne.
Amen.
That's what I believe. That's what I preach. I think for there to be joy in the church, there's got to be a God on the throne.
Amen.
I will tell you, Brother Dougie said this morning, said he's got gray hair in his beard. I said, hang on, you'll get some more. The pastor's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief because his master's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief.
Right.
We deal with people at their worst. Doug, you may thought you got into the ministry to deal with people that are not thinking you're going to deal with people that are worse. People that you count on, people you trust will fail you. But God Almighty wants
you.
You trust in Him. For there to be peace in your soul, God must be on the throne. For there to be hope in the future, then salvation must be entirely in the hands of Jesus.
Amen.
The old songwriter wrote this, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died.
Yes.
And He died.
Amen.
I don't know how many people Jesus died for. But I do know this. He died for me.
Amen.
I hope He died for you. I hope God reveals to you His mercy and His sovereignty. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If I'm the only sinner in heaven, I can tell you Christ did it. God did it, and not me. The sovereignty of God is salvation. It's our blessed hope. It's our blessed truth. And there's no question.